Okay, I'm going to be talking, as I said earlier on, about greed today. Not that there's anybody greedy in this room, although some people did put their hands up before when I asked. But none of you are greedy, obviously. Pardon? You're greedy for the Lord. That's good, that's good. Now, you've gone straight to my punchline, John. You ruined the whole thing. No, you've not. Seven deadly sins, can anybody name them? Or some of them? Lust, greed, avarice, sloth. Don't talk about me like that, please. Pride. Yes. I'm going to go through a modern definition of the seven deadly sins. Are you ready? Pride. In music, sports, business, we reserve our applause for winners. And those who flaunt it with an attitude tend to garner the most publicity. We strut our medals, we lavish rewards on winners, we read management books patterned after Machiavelli and Attila the Hun. There's pride for you. Pride is when you scored a goal, isn't it, and you point to your name on the back of your shirt. Is that pride? Maybe it's just celebration. Envy. Ooh. Nobody envies anything in here or anybody, do they? Good, good, you're all clean. Envy. Our entire advertising industry is built on inciting envy. Envy of colleagues, envy of neighbours, envy of the latest new electronic marvel, or the body shape that my neighbour has, which I would like. Don't go to the gym. If you're ashamed of your body, don't go to the gym. No, do go to the gym. Don't bother about those other people. Anger. We must get in touch with and express our anger, councillors tell us. Encounter groups, television, trash talk shows, town meetings, political debates offer ample opportunity to express your anger in today's society. Greed. The economic engine of our nation depends on a constant sense of discontent that motivates everybody to desire more. Sloth. Is it you that said sloth, John?
Yeah.
I thought it was really nasty. Really nasty. Just let that one in. Find an island with a beach. Retire early. Relax. Slow down. Feel good. Is that your dream for the future? You know, one day I'll be out there on the beach. Forever. Forever. Gluttony. Every year the big gulp drinks, by the way, chocolates are coming out later with the tea and coffee. Every year the big gulp drinks and supersized French fries get bigger. You can't ask for small. Have you ever been to America? What size drink do you like? Like a small one. They give you one about this big. No, a small one. French fries get big. Do you want some more French fries? Crisps. Want some more crisps? Free? Oh, go on then, yeah. Funny I can't get this belt on anymore. Currently 64% of Americans are overweight, with half of that percentage are obese. I got on the Wii Fit the other day and it told me I was obese, so I got off again. Then it told me I was getting a lot fitter. It does that, you know, it encourages you to use it more. John, you're looking better than ever, it said next time I got on. Last week you told me I was obese. Anyway, lust, from lycra clad professional cheerleaders to dancing babes on MTV, lust is ubiquitous in modern America. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about those, I'm going to talk about greed. Greed, one of the seven deadly sins, comes from the heart, but it reaches out. If you're greedy, it reaches out to others. Greed leads corporate executives to reward themselves with bonuses that their company can't afford. It might even cause their company to fail, you know, but what? We got our bonus. And that's particularly appropriate right now, isn't it? There was a man once who went into a sort of bric-a-brac shop where they sold everything. And he saw a cat drinking some milk out of a saucer. He was an antique dealer. And the saucer, you recognised as a Ming Dynasty saucer. So he thought, I know, this man must have no idea what that sauce is worth. I'll play a trick and get it really cheap. So he said, how much is your cat? So the man said, a price, can't remember what it was, but it was more than the man wanted to pay for a cat, but he thought, well, that's, I'm going to get the sauce. So he paid for the cat. Then just, he said, now I'll need something for it to drink out, so I'll take that sauce with me, so I'll give you a couple of pounds for it. He said, no, you won't. He said, that's a Ming Dynasty sauce. But you're the 17th person to buy a cat. Jesus told us to be on our guard against all kinds of greed. On Thursday, I took Jack into town. Jack's three. He was three last month. Came to the toddler group here, then I took him into town. And I thought, I don't often go in a really, you know, slap-up restaurant for lunch. So we went into McDonald's in St. Anne's Square. And we got burger and french fries. I ate mine quite quick. Jack was sat there with them all in front of him. So I said to Jack, do you want me to help you with those french fries? He went, no! So we sat there another 10 minutes, he didn't touch any of them. They were getting cold, you know. I was worried about them. I said, should I just have one? No! So I thought, well, he's only three. Why is he so insistent on keeping all these french fries to himself? In the end, he said, shall we wrap them up and take them out with us? She said, obviously, that's what his dad does with it. So we did. We wrapped them up and took them out with us. An hour later, he'd still not had a french fry or touched his burger. They'd all gone cold, and I could have had some extra. Greed, you know, it's not just corporate executives. I'm greedy too. Well, so's Jack. Even though he didn't eat it, he wouldn't give me one. Jesus said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. Do you know a sixth of all Jesus' sayings are about money or about possessions and the dangers? When Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq, he spent billions on massive luxurious palaces. And his people, a lot of them, were in absolute poverty. Thousands of children died of malnutrition under Saddam Hussein in Iraq. But when the army saw his palaces, well, they were luxurious, weren't they? Enron executives awarded themselves $745 million in bonuses. But the people who were laid off were given a maximum of $13,000. Anybody see the film Wall Street? Michael Douglas? I've not seen it, but apparently one of his lines in it is, greed is good. Good to be greedy. Because it brings success. Greed works. Greed drives the advertising business. Advertisers, they play on our fear that we've never got enough. And we respond. They play on our greed. Must work, advertising works, doesn't it? So when they tell you you need this, you know, if you spray that on you, all these women will run after you. Or if you drive that car, you know, is that your car? What's that advert now? People think, is that your car? Is that your car? But doesn't affect you, does it? You're all free of those kind of desires and things. But let me give you a little test. When you're going around town, you see a Lamborghini parked somewhere. How do you feel? Do you think, I'm so pleased for that man? Or woman who's got that Lamborghini. Do you think so? None of you! Dear me. That's revealing, isn't it? What do you think? I hope he gets booked. I do. Oof. Sorry. See the parking meter man coming along and say, hey. So our reactions reveal things about us. Do we want more than we have right now? Or do we just want enough? Would you be happy if you just had enough? And how do you define enough? just a bit more than I've got now. A lot more than I've got now. Yeah, then that would be enough. If I had enough to live in a house, you know, generous size, in its own grounds, with a driveway, a few cars on the back, out the front, electric gates, maybe a helipad on the roof, nothing too outlandish, you know, maybe a tennis court out the back, and snooker room, and maybe a baseball diamond over there somewhere. That would be enough, I think. An occasional, you know, 6 months away in Hawaii. That would be enough, would it? Seems to me the more people get, the more they want. G.K. Chesterton said, there's two ways to get enough. One is to keep accumulating, and the other is to desire less. And really, when you examine your life in this day and age of the credit crunch, you may have enough right now. Maybe you don't need anything else. You know, maybe you don't need the latest Killers album. I do though, I need it. There's computers now that they can do lots of things, a lot of the things that we can do. Computers, artificial intelligence. We only watch a science fiction program, some of them can do amazing things. Some of them start to learn human techniques and attributes, don't they? But one thing artificial intelligence can't do that we do is operate from wanting. We operate from wanting things. That's why we do things. Because we want to. Humans do things because they want to. And greed is a want, it's a desire. But as somebody said earlier on, I think it was John when he tried to pinch my punchline, greedy for God. Not all desire is bad. Not all greed is bad. Depends what you're greedy for. If you're greedy to see more love shown, that's good, isn't it? If you desire to see your family getting on better with each other, that's good. If you desire, you know, no more malnutrition babies, please. That's a good desire, isn't it? Let me ask a big question here, and this could change the world if it was true. What would the world be like if virtue was profitable? What would the world be like if virtue was profitable? Not greed, but virtue. What would the world be like if doing good, you were rewarded? You made profit from it. Doing good was rewarded. Jesus went round doing good, says in the Bible. Most of us just go round. He went round doing good. What if you were rewarded for virtue? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Perfect world. I wonder what a perfect world would look like. Not like the one we've got now. This book by John Ortberg here, he says, try to imagine a state of affairs where everything looked good. Shalom prevailed everywhere. Shalom means you're healthy, your children are safe. Wherever you go, you can leave doors open. Nobody's going to steal from you. What a great world, eh? Imagine this kind of world here. Parents would build homes for one another. Offices and boardrooms, the executive would secretly scheme to help their colleagues succeed. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Don't tell them. They'd compliment people behind their backs. Tabloids would be filled with accounts of courage and moral beauty. Talk shows. What would talk shows be like? Talk shows would feature mothers and daughters who love each other deeply. Wives who give birth to their husband's children, and men who secretly enjoy dressing as men. Disagreements would be settled with grace and civility. They would still be lawyers, perhaps, but they'd have really useful jobs like delivering pizza. The pizza would be non-fat and low in cholesterol. Doors would have no locks. Cars would have no alarms. Schools would not need a police presence. Students, teachers and janitors would honour and value one another's work. And at games, every kid would get picked for a team. People would neither be bored nor hurried. No father would ever say again, "I'm too busy," to a disappointed child. Our national sleep deficit would be paid off. Starbucks would still exist, but would only sell decaf. I don't agree with that at all. Divorce courts and battered women's shelters would be turned into community recreation centres. Every time one human being touched another, it would be to express encouragement, affection and delight. No one would be lonely. No one would be afraid. People of different races would join hands. They'd honour and be enriched by their differences. And in the centre of the entire community would be its magnificent architect and its most glorious resident, the God whose presence fills every person with unceasing splendour and ever-increasing delight, the perfect world. Now, who would like that to happen? That'd be great, wouldn't it? If virtue was profitable, maybe that's what would happen. Maybe we'd all be different. Could it be that you and I should stand against the way the world is? Could it be that you and I should stand against the way the world operates and try to bring in what we've just been talking about, perfect world? Should we be showing courage and heroism where we are? Alec Guinness said in his biography once that the world was too bleak and too bland for him to survive unless he could worship something. "I need something to worship," he said to his wife, "because the world is too bleak and too bland without something great." Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He knew. That's great, isn't it? No wonder he said, "You can't win, Darth. You can't win, Darth." I quoted a song once here called "I Love" by Tom T. Hall. Can you stick the words up? There's a song. It's a really hick country song. You know, it's cheesy, sentimental, and I love it. Because I'm sentimental. I don't know how to sing it. No. Alright, it's a simple tune. You must join in when you picked it up. Don't leave me hanging out here. Because that is, "I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, slow moving trains and rain." I'm singing very deep. You women won't be able to join in. "I love little country streams, sleep without dreams, Sunday school in May. And hey, and I love you too." Let me try and raise the key. "I love leaves in the wind, pictures of my friend, birds in the wood, and squirrels." I don't love squirrels, actually. "I love coffee in a cup, little fuzzy pups, bourbon in a glass." Don't love that either. "And grass." And not grass either. Well, one kind of grass. "And I love you too. I love honest open smiles, kisses from a child, tomatoes on the vine, and onions. And I love winners when they cry, losers when they try, music when it's good, and life.
And I love you too.
Tom T. Hall. I thought when I heard that song, I thought, I'm going to make a list of the things I love. So I did one. Here it is. It's not exhaustive. I keep adding to it. And you know, this is how we go against the tide, because people don't think about the things they like and love to do. You need to think about the things you love and write them down. Think, what do I like? I'm going to give you a minute or two afterwards to think of three or four things you really like. But here's my list up to now. Books by honest writers. Paintings with deep reds in them. Vermilion, I think it's called. And greens in them. Sort of pre-Raphaelite stuff, you know. Cowboys. Heartfelt worship. Seeing other people lost in wonder, love and praise. Sitting round a table with friends and a glass of wine. Having a meal. My football team. My wife. These aren't in any order, by the way. That's number one. Listening to rain on the roof of a tent. I like it. I don't know why. Watching the rain go down the grid. Run down the window pane. My family. Good novels. Sunny winter days. Autumn, spring, summer. People I resonate with. Then there's a list of names. I'm not reading them out. Woodland paths. Jesus. Films about men's characters. Like A Few Good Men. Master and Commander. The Colour Blue. The City of Manchester. Stirring speeches. Great fight backs. People who won't give in. History. Aragorn, it shall not be this day. Henry V, St. Crispin's Day speech. Music that touches my spirit. Trains. Smiles. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Honest preachers. Well, there's my list, which isn't exhaustive. I keep adding to it, as I say. But let me give you, let's see, 60 seconds to think of something. Three things or more, minimum of three, that if you were doing a list, you would write down. 60 seconds. Okay, 60 seconds. Who got three at least? Anybody got more than three? Anybody get anything that I didn't have on my list? Good, good. Did you notice a big omission on my list? What was it? A lot, wasn't there? Jesus was there. Cake! There's no cake on there. Fun? No desserts. No sherry trifle. No cheesecake. No pavlova. Wow. I didn't say anything. But I didn't say it. I did say blue and I did say Manchester. But I like them anyway. Manchester's a great city. Do you know it's the greatest city? It's a great city, Manchester. So small. Anyway. What I want to close with is just to say, we're called to be heroes. We're called to be different from the way the world is. We're called to follow Jesus. Jesus was counter to the culture. Remember when the woman comes in and washes his feet with her hair? She's a prostitute, which if she had no standing in society, society said, what's she doing? Get her out of there. That isn't etiquette, that isn't what you do. Jesus operated on a different principle. Jesus operates on love, doesn't operate on what looks good, doesn't operate on greed, doesn't operate on any of those seven deadly sins that we mentioned at the beginning. He operates on love. You and I are called to follow him. Be filled with love and operate on love and pour out love wherever we go. Now, have you got enough love inside you to be able to do that? I'd say you've not. I'd say you've got some love inside you, but you've not got enough to pour it out wherever you go. So, how can we do that? We get before God and we say, God, will you keep filling me with your love, please, so that I can pour it out wherever I go. Because his reservoir never runs dry. His stream, never failing love, a river of never failing love that you can drink from whenever you want. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a never ending, never failing stream of love. That your love is from everlasting to everlasting, and you are ready to pour it into our hearts when we ask you to. So we ask you right now, Lord, pour your love into our spirits. We pray that we can live counter to the culture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.